statement that I think need to be emphasized here, because the author emphasized this too. We talk about the imagination. We're not talking about mental assenting. What I mean by mental assenting, we're not talking about having your mind taking the place of your faith. All right. That's where self-help comes in at, those self-help books and those positive things. We're not talking about positive thinking alone. I mean, you have to think positive, but you better have some power to back up that positive thinking. And so this is not just, your imagination that's out there by itself. So don't think because you imagine something that is going to happen. All right? Because you got to have this word called belief. And your belief is not in your imagination. Your belief is in what Jesus did. Are you seeing this? All right, so when we're talking about using imagination, we're just talking about broadening horizons. We're talking about taking you places in your imagination that you haven't been yet physically. But your imagination is not going to take you there. Your faith is. All right, so you can, as I was saying, stated earlier, those of you that listen at me, the author I was reading behind said that biblical truth in the mind only is of no use. Biblical truth in the mind only is of no use. There must be some experiences had with those biblical truths. Experiences, and it doesn't have to be your experiences. It can be the experience of somebody else. It can be the experience, like many of us are living off the experiences of Abraham. Many of us are living off the experiences of Isaac. And many of us are living off the experience of what David did. All right? So, biblical truth in the mind only is of no use, and it will be ineffective. It has to have experience behind it. It has to have power behind it. It has to have an essence behind it. The Bible talks about, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It didn't say without the imagination. It says without faith, all right? So, as we talk about your imagination, that don't mean because you imagine it, it's just going to happen. And that's what happens to people who mental assent. It stays in the mental realm. It doesn't become real in their spirit. It doesn't become real to the fact that they know what God has told them. It's almost as if they talk themselves into a frenzy. Let me tell you when you know you believe something. You know when you believe something? You know when you're in faith? When something hits you and you're not shaking. That's when it has gone from just being a biblical truth in your mind to being a heavenly experience in your heart. When you're hit with something and you're able to stand. Now, don't try to build your stance in the trouble. You need to be working on that before. Are you seeing this? So as we begin to talk about the imagination, this is, now God gave us our imagination. He gave us the opportunity to use our imagination. But our imagination is that, just like what it says, a tool. A tool to enhance our faith. That's it. That's it. Because without faith, it's impossible. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So all these things, all is tools that works with our faith. Because when it comes to the bottom line, God is looking for faith. He's not looking for your imagination. He's not looking for your memory. He's not looking for your intellect, your emotions. He's not looking for that. He's looking for your faith. Are you seeing this? So we'll review a little bit. The human imagination is a preparation tool for building in the realm of the spirit. In Genesis, the 11th chapter, we read that God said had to confuse the mind of those that are building the Tower of Babel because he made this statement. He said they have imagined to do this. So in other words, they put together, they thought about it so long that they went out and began to, they thought about it so long that they went out and began to put action to it. All right, and God said, I got to confuse them because they're going to get this thing accomplished because they have imagined to do it. Your imagination allows you to have things before you physically possess them. Every invention of humankind began as a possibility in someone's imagination. It's something about having a God-inspired imagination. We talked about last time how Joshua had a God-inspired imagination. We talked about last time how God told Joshua in the midst of being in his presence to see, I've given you Jericho. So that means God did not go further in any other instructions until Joshua could see, his imagination could see that they were given Jericho. See, why is that important? It is important because, watch this. God is looking for faith. Or let me say it like this. Let me say it better like this. Let me progress a little bit further. God is looking for your obedience. All right? God is looking for your obedience. If you're not convinced that God can do something about your situation, then it makes no sense for God to give you no further instruction, because you're not going to do them, because you're not convinced. Even though you convince God can do something for you, even in salvation, go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Watch this. Even in salvation, because really the way all of us got born again, it began with somebody telling us about Jesus dying on the cross. Were you there when he died on the cross? No. So when somebody started telling you about Jesus dying on the cross, you had to imagine. Is that making sense? Romans, the 10th chapter. Verse 8. He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here it is. Paul has given us the prescription for salvation, but your imagination had to precede that, because when somebody was telling you about Jesus, how he hung on the cross, how he took all your sins, you have to imagine Jesus taking all your sins. And that's when you begin to believe. You become convinced in your heart. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I'm a sinner. I believe. Jesus, I need you to wash my sins. Come into my heart. Cleanse. Are you saying this? It began with your imagination, but it ended with your faith. Are you seeing this? See, so what happens is when people, these positive thinkers, first of all, they're relying on themselves. They're relying on themselves and convincing themselves that they can do something about it. That's what positive thinkers do. But what's the difference between when we think positive and when somebody who thinks positive about themselves? We think positive because we're creating a picture of what God is going to do, or what God has done and what God is doing. See, he told Joshua, I just need you to see that I've given you Jericho. Positive thinkers say, I need to see myself taking Jericho. You see the difference? When we think positive, we're thinking about what God is doing for us, not what we can do for ourselves. Mark the 10th chapter. Imagination. Not Mark the 10th chapter, I thought it was. Where is Jesus with healed that boy that had that deaf and dumb spirit? I know it was in Mark. We say cast him in the fire. He said, Nine, that's it. Go to Mark 9. Mark 9, 23. That's what I'm looking for. Mark 9, 23. Here's how the difference between somebody thinking positive on their own, what they're going to do, what they're going to accomplish, seeing themselves do something, and when you're thinking about what God is doing for you. Watch this now. I'm talking about the power of the imagination. Now, first of all, for this man to come looking for Jesus means he had already predetermined that Jesus could do somebody's situation, which means he had to be thinking. He had to have seen something else happen, seen something else Jesus did, and became convinced that he can do something for him. That's using your imagination. All right? Jesus came, he came to the disciples. The disciples couldn't do nothing. Then they brought the boy to Jesus. Watch this. Jesus said in verse 23, Jesus said, if thou canst what? Believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we talked about this before, but actually Jesus was saying, if you can be convinced, then all things are possible to the person who can be convinced that I can do something about this. All right, now watch what this man said. And straightway, the father of the child cried out with tears and said, Lord, I am convinced. But I need you to help me where I'm not convinced. See, that's the difference. Jesus will step in where you're lacking and complete the gap. He's not asking you to do anything other than obey him. Are you seeing this? So your imagination is powerful, but it's not going to be the thing that bring it to pass. But it will put you in a frame of mind that when Jesus begins to talk to you, you're at attention. And you know something is about to happen. I might not know what it is, I might not know how it's gonna happen, but I do know something is about to happen. Are you seeing this? The development of the imagination does two things for us. One, it increases the borders of our mind. I have never done it before, now becomes I could do it this way. Are you seeing this? I've never seen it like this before, but now I've imagined it. I have never experienced this before, but I see it's possible to happen. That's what happened to Joshua. Joshua had never seen walls fall in. But they'd have never seen them if Joshua didn't first see. God made the walls fall in. But he couldn't give Joshua those crazy instructions of walking around that wall if he first didn't see? Is this making... This is why Romans, the 12th chapter, is very important. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2 particular. Turn there. There's a reason why God put all those stories in the Bible of what he's done in the past. It's a reason why testimonies are so powerful. It's a reason why hearing other people's experiences are so powerful. Because it lights the fire under your imagination. When it lights the fire under your imagination, then your world horizon broadens. And now God is able to give you instructions on what to do next. Romans, the 12th chapter. Watch this now. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means the world must be limits your imagination. I'll tell you how the world system limits your imagination. The world system tells you it's not enough for everybody. But if that's the case, then that goes contrary and completely different to what my Bible says. Because just simply me using my imagination, let's use our imagination for a moment, all right? Let's use our imagination. If God is all-powerful, I said if, and he is. If God is all-knowing, if, and he is. If God is omnipresent, if, and we know he is. That means everything God does, he never have do it. Right? So that means when God created the Garden of Eden, he put enough in the garden to take care of everybody that was to come. So because why would he tell them be fruitful and multiply if God had made plans for the fruit? So me using my imagination already lets me know that the world system tells me that it has to be a shortage for supply and demand to work is a lie. Because that's more than enough for everybody, because God created the earth, right? And he don't have to do anything. So why would God create an earth then put people here whom he loves and not put enough in here for everybody? You see your imagination? So now I just help some of y'all understand that when the world says there ain't enough jobs or there ain't enough this, ain't enough that, they lying. No questions asked. They are no ambiguity in it. They are lying. Are you seeing? See how the imagination? See the imagination, watch this. Meditation, go to Joshua 1 and 8. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Meditate is your imagination. Your imagination is a powerful tool for you to use while you're meditating. God gives you a scripture, you meditate. What it mean, meditate mean? To ponder it over and over and over again. So then your imagination begins to expand. So now the Holy Spirit gets involved with your thoughts. And the Holy Spirit say, oh, what if it happens this way? Or what if it happens this way? Or what if God does this? So now your mind is clicking. You're creating a picture. But remember now, this picture ain't gonna wanna make it happen. Ain't gonna make it happen. This picture is putting you in a frame of mind that it can happen. So when you find out it can happen, now God begins to give you instructions on what to do. And you're willing to follow. Is this making sense? See, now this is why the imagination, Satan uses the imagination the same way. Except he used deception. How many of you have something has happened to you and you ain't like it happening to you, or you didn't like the way that went, and you played the whole situation out 3 days in advance in your mind? Ain't nothing happened yet, but it's just you done played it out, saying, okay, this done happened. Okay, now this gonna happen. Now this gonna happen, and that gonna happen, and this gonna happen. And you done laid out the whole situation. And now, mind you, you still in day one. Day three ain't here yet. And you done laid it all out. Satan told Eve, he told her, God, you see the people of the fruit, you ain't gonna die. So then she started imagining not dying after eating the fruit, which was a lie. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, words give pictures. So you have to be careful what you're listening to. You have to be careful who's talking to you. You have to be careful what are you paying attention to. The author points it out, and I thought it was very, very excellent point. He began to talk about how the movie industry triggers your imagination. This is about to be funny. I went to see the movie The Best Man, Holiday. All right, now I'm with my wife. I'm sitting there watching it, right? And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm cracking up laughing. And then it got to the part. I don't know who hadn't seen the movie yet. I hope if I hadn't seen it yet, but well, it had a sad part in it. I won't tell you the movie. It had a sad part in it, and all of a sudden her. And I'm looking. And I'm looking at my wife, and she is boo-hoo. All right, I forgot. We all from Louisiana, but I got people from all across the country don't know what boo-hoo means. Mean plenty crying. I mean hard down snotting. And so, I looked at her. I said, you do realize this woman is still alive. But her imagination, the movie triggered her imagination, and she actually had placed herself in the house, feeling the pain that these people were feeling. It was funny because I looked at her, she was crying and laughing at me at the same time, because I looked at her and said, you do know that woman is still alive. She at home right now. Counting her money. But my point is the power of the imagination. It puts you in a place, your imagination and words that you hear, pictures that you see, can put you in a place. Are you seeing this? So this is why Romans 12:2 is important, that you renew your mind with the word of God, so that your mind can be filled with fruitful words that will give you great pictures. Because listen, you're going to imagine. There's no such thing as I can't imagine anything. No such thing. Either you imagine yourself doing something, or you imagine yourself doing nothing. Because everybody's imagination works. Everybody's imagination works. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. verse 5. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5. Casting down, you see that? Imagination. Now, religious folk didn't finish reading. And this is why religion tried to take the mind out the equation, when God meant the mind to be in the equation. See, religion tried to take the mind out of having anything at all to do with faith. So people going around talking about, I believe it in my spirit. But your mind ain't right. You can't be convinced of nothing if you got negative thoughts. All right, here's a negative thought. I don't believe, I don't believe Jesus died on the cross. So how in the world are they going to be able to confess in their mouth and believe in their heart? I can't see that happening. I don't believe that story is true. I don't believe that happened. So how can they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart? So here it is. The Apostle Paul is telling them to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I need you to catch every imagination that does not agree with what God says. Now, in order for me to know what God says, I got to be spending time with God. I have to be renewing my mind with the Word of God. Because if I don't renew my mind with the Word of God, anybody can come tell me anything. So I can't cast any imagination down. Watch this. The author calls them strongholds. A negative self-image comes from the imagination being programmed the wrong way. Strongholds control people's lives. Oh, yeah. Strongholds, these negative imagination. People having a bad perception of themselves. People allowing words that somebody else say affect them. If anybody says anything negative about you, you need to go back to the Word of God and see what God says about you. God made all of us. And he did not make a mistake. So for anybody else to say anything else about God's creation is an imagination against the knowledge of God. Are you seeing this? Casting down imagination and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So if you ever imagine about something not working for you, that ain't come from God. Because God says all things work together. That's how you cast down an imagination. When a negative thought comes, you arrest it. What I mean by arrest it? Grab it. How you grab it? You tell it, stay there. You tell it, stay there. And you can tell it, stay there, talk. Because see, watch this. One thing about the Word of God. Every negative idea that comes, God has a word to refute it. You can tell that negative idea, stay there. I'm coming back. I'm going to the Word of God.
Listen.
Adam and Eve had to do was go to the Creator when they got misinformation. When they got something that told them something different All they do is go back to the Creator and find it where the Creator said, this will happen. So all they had to do was go back in their memory and remember that God told them, if you eat off the tree, you shall surely die. So when Satan come in telling them that lie, all they do is revert back and remember what God has said. Are you seeing this? Disobedience and negative actions are driven by the outcome people imagine with strongholds on their mind. Disobedience and negative actions are driven by the outcome people imagine. You know, your imagination calls you. See, this is why negative confessions, even your past experiences help shape your imagination. Because of previous experiences, we sometimes don't want to open the door for God to do a new thing in our lives because of past experiences. So what happens is those past experiences, those memories, will help shape your imagination. So this is why you have to deal with those bad experiences so they don't affect your current imagination, which will cause you to act in disobedience when God speaks to you and not do what he says to do. The more the strongholds in imagination are backed up by the memories of negative events, the harder life becomes. If we want to change our future, we must develop our imagination. Listen to that. This is key now. Now watch this. This is not, once again, let me rest assured. Listen a minute. This is not mental assenting. Because remember, your imagination ain't going to get nothing done. Your faith in what Jesus did on the cross is what's going to make it happen. I want to make sure this is clear. Because a lot of times people get convinced and they hit mental assent. And they get convinced in their mind only. And they're not convinced in their heart. What I mean by being convinced in the mind only and not in the heart? Being convinced in the mind only and not in the heart is like the seven sons of Sceva. In the book of Acts. They were convinced they were going to cast that demon out. But they weren't convinced in their heart. Are you seeing this? See, the difference is when Paul and Peter them do it, they had a relationship with the Father who was going to do the work. They thought it was just them saying it gonna make it happen. No, when we speak and we have a relationship with God, God comes in and do it for us. If we want to change our future, I'm gonna say this again, we must develop our imagination. You must do just like Joshua did. Joshua saw that God had given him Jericho. Remember now, he didn't tell Joshua, I'm going to do what you imagine. He said, I need you to see that I've given you Jericho. A demonic stronghold in our imaginations will destroy our future. Listen, racism, cults, horrible acts of hatred, addiction of all kinds did not just happen. They were developed day by day through strongholds and imagination. People have gotten sick and even died because of negative imagination. All right. Here we go. Pain hits your body in a certain place. If you don't have control of your imagination, You done gave yourself cancer. You done gave yourself a terminally ill illness. Are you seeing this? You've given this yourself before anybody have told you anything. Never forget, Brother Hagin talked about, he was talking about your words and your mouth and how you use your words. And he told about this young man that kept watching the monsters. And he kept saying, you know, he kept going around acting and kept saying, "I'm Eddie Monster. I'm Eddie Monster." He loved the monsters. "I'm Eddie Monster." He kept walking around, "I'm Eddie Monster. I love the monsters." Until that day, until he started, he started losing certain mobility in his body. And he kept saying, "I'm Eddie Monster, I'm a monster, I'm a monster." Then a couple of weeks later, he lost more mobility in his body. Until he got to a point that he was in a vegetative state. And they couldn't figure out why. All because of him using his imagination. Are you seeing this? Imagination is a powerful thing. And Satan knows it. Whatever the word says about you, you must take hold of it. Now watch this. Jesus used many illustrations and parables in his teaching. Why? Because he wanted to get the listeners to use their imagination, to get an understanding, to grab hold of concepts and precepts that he was putting out. Are you seeing this? Jesus knew as soon as people could start using their imagination according to what they knew of the natural world, directly related to spiritual truth, it would empower them to obey God better and also correctly position them for God. One parable that I love in Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents. Now, the problem is preachers have misconstrued. Let me rephrase that. Preachers and business people have misconstrued that parable. That parable, Jesus is using an earthly principle to talk about heavenly truth. That parable is talking about sowing. It's talking about sowing. And so Jesus was trying to use that parable to get them to understand how easily the principle of sowing in the kingdom of God works. So now when you go back and read it, you can do it yourself. It's very easy to do. When you go back and read it, you start imagining, you start equating the natural to the spiritual. He gave one man at one man, two, one, three. That's seed. He traveled from a far country. He come from the spirit world to the natural. Right? The one with the one talent didn't want soul. So he put it in the world system. And he lied about that. Jesus was using that to create an imagination so that people can grab hold of the principle of seed time and harvest. You see how Jesus used parables to do that? You read the 25th chapter of Matthew and read that parable of the talents, and you now begin to equate it to what you've been knowing about seed time and harvest, and then seed time and harvest become more easily, it'll be easy to grab for you. In other words, you can see yourself sowing and it's multiplying. How many see that? The imagination can bring things to life. It is a powerful key to accessing the power of God to heal, bless, and deliver. This is why every miracle Jesus performed didn't surprise him. His imagination had already seen it. There are so many things that once the imagination can grab hold of them, God's word says our faith can have. Oh, once you imagine it, now God can give you the instructions. I've been saying that. God can give you the instructions on what to do. God, once you can imagine it, now it's easier for you to obey. Are you seeing this? We must use our imagination for success, never failure. Watch this now. In Numbers 13, Moses sent out 12 spies. Our imagination must give us every provision for victory. Now, great example of the use of imagination. Moses sent out 12 spies to go spy out Canaan, the land flowing milk and honey. For those that are not familiar with the story, they all came back. 10 had an evil report. 2 had a good report. The 10 said, we like grasshoppers. Wait a minute, who told y'all was grasshoppers? They imagined. So now, see, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why God told Joshua, I need you to see. Because he still had effects from them saying, we're grasshoppers in their sight. Even though he was one of the ones with a good report, he still had heard that. Now watch this, key principle. Be careful what you hear, because whatever you hear, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have, this is why I don't let nobody come talk about my apostle to me. I don't care if it's just a little twingy sideways, no harm meant comment. I'm not hearing it. Because I ain't got time to be using my brain power trying to catch that old negative thought and deal with it. You have to be careful what you hear. So God told Joshua, I need you to see that. I need you to be totally convinced. Because why? He had had 10 witnesses say, oh man, we can't do this. Man, I don't know what God told Moses. This ain't our land. This ain't what we come here for. We ain't mess with these people. We're grasshoppers in them people. Then Joshua and Caleb saying, we're well able to do this. So wait a minute now. So they had to be. They went to the same place. So why did they come back with 2 different reports? They went to the same place. So why 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it, and 2 of them came back and said, we can? It's because of their imagination. They went in. Watch this. Joshua and Caleb went in on their mind that God has given us this land. So they went in looking for all that God was giving them. The other 10 didn't obviously hear what Moses said. God spoke to him. So they went in doubting. So they began to see the negative. So you see how the negative, the same land, they're in the same place, but 2 different outcomes in their opinions. What was it? It's their imagination. Joshua and Caleb were going in looking for what God was going to do for them. The other 10 were going in looking for what we don't know if it's going to happen. So because of their preconceived ideas, their thoughts, those negative thoughts shaped their imagination. As compared to Joshua and Caleb, positive thoughts about knowing what God's word said, what God had spoke to Moses, they went in and it began to shape their positive imagination. Are you seeing this? See, you look at a situation, that's why it's important when you look at a situation, no matter what the situation is, you got to grab hold of your thoughts so your thoughts won't run away and begin to create a picture that you don't want to deal with. Is this making sense? See, now remember now, it was not Joshua and Caleb coming back and saying that we were able to take it that made it happen. It wasn't them coming back and say that it can happen. God still had to intervene. See, if Joshua and Caleb were told him, hey, y'all get y'all weapons, get y'all stuff together, we're going to take this land today. That's mental assenting. But them waiting on God to move, having a convinced imagination, is what caused that thing to come back. God went in, made the wall fall over. So once again, I'm closing with this. It's not going to be your imagination. As powerful as your imagination is, it's not your imagination going to bring it to pass. God is bringing it to pass. But your imagination to put you in a position to be obedient to what God says that bring that he can do, that he can follow through and bring it to pass. How many see it? See, if Jesus hadn't imagined the cross, he wouldn't have went to it. If he wouldn't went to it, God's plan couldn't be fulfilled. Is that making sense? Y'all enjoy the night. I'll see you tomorrow. Your imagination is a very powerful thing.